On the record. Good morning, everyone. This is the time for the scheduling conference on the matter of the formal complaint of Ellis Hall Consultants against Pacificor/Rocky Mountain Power in docket number 14-035-24. My name is Jordan White, and the commissioners have asked that I act as presiding officer for the scheduling conference. Why don't we go ahead and start by taking appearances? We'll start over here at the end of the table over here with Mr. Coleman.
Brent Coleman with the Attorney General's Office on behalf of the Office of Consumer Services.
Justin Jetter for the Utah Division of Public Utilities.
Daniel Solander on behalf of Rocky Mountain Power, and I have with me Paul Clements, Director of Regulation for Rocky Mountain Power.
Mary Ann Wood and Steve Wood on behalf of Ellis Hall.
Okay. And you might want to pull the microphone up a little bit more just to make sure we can hear you okay. Okay, so we have Ellis Hall's formal complaint that was filed on March 3rd, and after the commission issued a notice of hearing, Ellis Hall then filed a motion for expedited hearing that requested the commission issue a decision prior to the week of April 28, 2014. Before we start talking about process and scheduling, it would be helpful for me at least, I don't know if it's Ms. Wood or Mr. Wood, but it would be helpful just to kind of get a very brief timeline of kind of the events surrounding the complaint, just so we can have an understanding as we go into the scheduling.
Are you asking what are the deadlines that we need to
yeah,
worry about?
Yeah, I just right need now? To, I would like to understand, you know, and again, I have the complaint, but it's, you know, when the indicative pricing happened, when you were informed of the change in indicative pricing and why you need to have expedited treatment, I guess.
Well, I think the background of what happened that led up to our complaint is set forth. I mean, the facts are in the complaint. We received indicative pricing in March. In May of 2013, that was the indicative pricing we were given. Subsequently, as you know, we filed intervened in another matter, complaining disparate treatment. And a varying application of Schedule 38, and subsequently, when we attempted to execute a PPA, the Pacificor took the position that our indicative pricing was no longer valid under the Commission's order.
And when, just to stop you here, when was that? When was the initial notice from Pacificor about the that you just mentioned?
When did they give us notice that they would no longer honor that indicative pricing? Let me just confer with my client just to
the important sure. thing is that there have been ongoing negotiations, and we filed an informal complaint that was ignored.
I appreciate that. I'm just trying to get a scope of the dates here, though.
Well, what difference does it make? We've been trying to negotiate a PPA for a year.
I need to understand the timeline here because
We'll have to get the exact date, but we believe it was in September of 2013, approximately a time that we held the hearing in the Blue Mountain and Latigo matters.
And when were you informed of the change in indicative pricing?
In September of 2015.
Okay. All right.
We'll have to confirm those dates.
Mr. Clements has that date if the commission would like.
Yeah.
Following the commission order and the avoided cost docket for renewable projects larger than 3 megawatts, which was in August 2013, I believe, the company provided letter notice to all parties who had received indicative pricing prior to that order who were not in receipt of an executed power purchase agreement. And so in August of 2013, letters were provided stating that the indicative pricing was no longer valid.
Okay, that's helpful. I appreciate it. That's all I need. We don't really need to give the merits. I'm just trying to get a basic time frame here. So turning to the motion for expedited hearing, Ellis Hall states the question simply the correct application of the commission's August 16, 2013 order in docket 1235-100, which states in part, future requests for indicative pricing for WinQF. QFs under Schedule 38 will be calculated using the proxy PDDR method. Based upon Ellis Hall's reading of the order, they assert that because they had indicative pricing before that order was issued, they are entitled to that indicative pricing. Is that a correct characterization of the question that's presented in the complaint, Mr. Wood?
Yes.
Okay, that's helpful. So If that's the question, I guess the next point is here. What process do we need to bring that question to a point of decision before the commission? Does the commission need to examine refined facts here? Is this simply a legal issue? What are the parties' thoughts on that? And why don't we go ahead and start with Mr. Wood?
We think it's a legal issue.
Okay. Do any other parties dispute that, Mr. Solander or Mr. Jetter or Coleman?
No, we don't dispute that.
Okay. So if it's a legal issue, it sounds like there's not going to be discovery. And how about the question of, do we need a hearing? I mean, is it something we could do by a couple rounds of briefs?
I think so.
I think it can be done solely by briefing.
By briefs, okay. Well, let's talk about that then. I know that you've noted that you're looking for a determination before April 28th. So without a hearing date, why don't we just talk about, you know, whether it's a, you know, initial brief and then responses or what have you. What do parties think? Mr. Jetter? Well,
I just wanted to bring up one issue. I think we do need some facts,
okay,
which are basically the chronology of okay, dates of the communications between the company and Ellis Hall.
Okay.
So I don't know that any of those are disputed, but we'd like just a chance to make sure that we have a full record for our okay, own understanding of.
And if I may,
yes, yes, Mr.
It's Coleman. My understanding that the office has submitted some data requests along those lines just to get the factual
okay,
background. So if, you know, I mean, I think it would be helpful for our position to have the capacity to get the responses back, to have a more full understanding, okay, because of the, you know, the conversations that are kind of form the gravamen of some of this issue that were held between just the company and Ellis Hall. From our perspective and our responsibility to protect some of the interests of the ratepayers, we need to have a better understanding of some of those facts as we present our yeah, input into the situation.
How are those the least bit relevant? The only relevant question is what the commission's order means. That's the only issue that is relevant. We all know the history of communications between the Pacific Corps and our client, and that is currently before the Supreme Court.
I think that they're relevant in as much as, given some of the language of Schedule 38 and how those conversations went back and forth against the framework of Schedule 38, I think those questions are relevant.
Let me ask you this: Is this something that, for example, I mean, by the parties, I mean Rocky Mountain Power and Ellis Hall would potentially stipulate to the facts that are outlined in their pleadings and informal complaint?
I don't, I mean, I haven't spoken to Rocky Mountain Power, but, you know, on this basic issue, I don't think there would be any dispute. I mean, it would be the date that we were given indicative pricing, the date that they told us that, you know, applicants would then have to have the new pricing, and whether the commission's order, when it says future requests, I mean, what does future requests mean? I mean, that I think is the only issue here.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think anyone's in dispute that we made a request for indicative pricing, that we were given indicative pricing. Nobody's in dispute that the commission later issued an order that changed the pricing methodology, and we just have a difference of opinion about what this one question is. Future. What does future requests of indicative pricing mean?
Mr. Coleman, I tend to agree based upon, you know, and I've asked them to reiterate the narrow scope of their question that if there's no dispute about, and again, I kind of see the, I mean, obviously I agree that we need to have an establishment of dates in the context of the, you know, the order, the request, et cetera. But, you know, if you look at the informal complaint, the correspondence, et cetera, I think it outlines, you know, the, you know, certain dates, and if the parties are willing to agree to that, you know,
if there's an agreement upon those deadlines, yeah, then we can, you know, frame some of our position again with respect to Schedule 38. That would be helpful.
Do you want to go off the record for a minute and just confer with, you know, and maybe potentially discuss? I mean, again, they're in the informal complaint papers, and also some of those dates are outlined in the actual formal complaint.
I mean, I think if those are the only facts that are going to be in evidence, yeah, and there's the scope isn't, you know, is that narrow, then I think we're fine with proceeding without a hearing. The company would be.
Okay.
You know, if we could, you know, the parties outside of this could put together a stipulated summary of facts and submit it for the commission, something like that.
I think that'd be fine. Again, I don't, I mean, again, if it's just a legal issue, I don't see the need to, you know, and they're pretty clear dates in terms of, you know, the original indicative pricing order comes out, and then the letter that Mr. Clemens described coming out in August, late August of 13. If that would be helpful to, if you could get together and file some kind of, you know, again, brief stipulated, and that can be that could be done, you know, simultaneously with or prior to the briefing. But so let's talk about briefing here. Any thoughts with respect to, you know, initial briefs and then a potential response?
I think we ought to have Pacific Core and Ellis Hall file simultaneous opening briefs.
Okay.
And then anybody who wants to respond can respond when we're responding to each other's briefs.
Okay. Other parties have thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that's fine. I would suggest that it be open to all the parties to file at the opening at the same time for an initial brief.
That's fine.
And we could probably, I think 10 or 15 days from now is fine for the division, but I don't know what the other parties
are. So today is the 13th of March. So what do we think, that, you know, the 28th? Of March or longer for initial briefs?
March 28th is fine.
Yeah.
Well, I think we could do it shorter, actually. I mean, the 24th?
You know, I can't speak, but I know there's a lot of dockets going on right here, so I'll leave it to these, to the folks at the division and office. If they could you do it the 24th, or do you need longer? 28th, is that?
That's fine. Okay.
And I guess I would just want to, and I know Your Honor has addressed this, and I just want to confirm, because of some of the difference in scope between what's included in the informal complaint and that in the formal complaint, so I can better understand, you know, we're being asked to proceed relatively quickly. It seems to, you know, the informal complaint was resolved in November, and now we're asked to move on a pretty quick schedule. But so if I can just make sure I understand the sum and substance of the complaint, as I understand it, and I guess I would again ask for confirmation, that is not the disparate treatment that is referenced in the informal complaint, but is simply the status of the indicative pricing quotation.
Miss or Mr. Wood can correct me, but as they characterize it, they have a specific legal question with respect to the commission's, I guess, application of the order in the context of the timing of when they received indicative pricing and then they received the letter from Mr. Clements with the change in indicative pricing. Is that correct, Mr. Wood?
Yeah, I mean, the question of the disparate treatment is before the Utah Supreme Court and whether or not that should have been addressed in the other matter. So we don't think it would be appropriate for us to be two-tracking an issue that's before the Supreme Court. So although we referenced that in our informal complaint, the issue on that we're seeking a resolution from the commission is simply the correct interpretation okay. of the commission's order. What does it mean when the commission said future requests for indicative pricing?
So just to be clear, there's going to be no issue of any complaints regarding the process around Schedule 38 with respect to Pacific Core?
No, not in this complaint, no.
Okay.
That helps me. I just wanted to better understand as I, you know, work on shortening the time frame and potentially prejudicing my position.
Understood, good.
That's an
appropriate question. Okay, so we have initial briefs from all parties. They would be due the 28th of March. Response briefs, if any.
Let's do it a week later.
The 11th? Mr. Jetter, Mr. Coleman?
I'd like 2 weeks to respond.
Yeah, I think the 11th would be appropriate.
Okay. So I think we have some consensus. Well, I think we have consensus among the parties, which is, again, this is a specific legal question with respect to, I guess, the commission's the application or interpretation of the commission's order. And we have initial briefs from all parties that would be due Friday, March 28th, 2014, with response briefs, if any, would be due Friday, April 11th. Is that correct? Okay. Okay, with that, are there any other matters of housekeeping or, oh, sorry, give me a second.
We talked about a stipulated set of, like a chronology of mm-hmm. events. I suppose we should have some sort of a date for that.
Okay.
I don't know how long that would take.
Why don't we go ahead and go off the record for a second, and if you guys want to talk about that, how that would work, that's fine with me.